Blog Talk Radio.
Extra pre-filled people here.
Could never have enough love. Never enough love for us. Welcome, people. Welcome back to
the Bridal Body Shop.
That was nice. On Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Thank you for letting us be a part of your life for the past 4 years. We've been happy to serve you, been happy to be there. And we hope to be there for an indefinite amount of time because we don't run out of things to tell you, and we hope you never run out of the want to listen to us. So it is a rainy day in Gotham, and the show today, and you know what, I want to take credit and say that we lined this up perfectly, but it serendipitously worked out that next week in New York is Restaurant Week, and today it's going to be an interesting show because we're talking about healthy places to eat, not healthy places to eat, and basically food trends. And there's you looked at me like I was crazy, but there are trends in everything.
I don't understand what's a food
trend. Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But basically, I mean, we all know how the fashion trends are set. They're usually set in Europe, and we follow them here. But And we always say dietary trends and fitness trends usually is basically built out of
food trends, food
is food population. But my darling, we have somebody who's coming on the show with us later, and she is going to explain that all. There's trends in everything.
Okay.
There's trends in everything. And you know
what?
I don't know if it's, you know, I don't want to be a New York snob, but I don't know if it's just us that encourage these things that kind of, like, you know, have a little bit more cachet, but, and do they happen in little towns in Wisconsin? I don't know, but I know that we do have them here, and we have somebody that's going to be coming on board talking all about that. But before that, proper intros of the ladies behind the mic.
Yes.
Lori Towers is me. Nothing. Nothing. Okay. Elite Ziegelman is she. Watch this. There you go.
There we go.
The Bridal Body Shop is who
Whoa.
We are. And one day.
Do it again.
Day, no, you know what?
Do it again.
It, you know what? If
Come
it
on.
Has to be forced, it's so disingenuous. No, see.
Lori Towers is she.
You know what? It doesn't seem.
Elite Ziegelman
no.
is me.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let me tell you something. One day, and it might be 4 years from now, it might be 40 years from now, but one day I will have an automatic sound effect that will tailgate my name in a fashionable way.
Okay.
One day that's going to happen.
All right.
But let me talk about, I think our next guest is waiting in the wings, but let me give you a little bit of info on
Let
her.
Let the people know. Let the
now,
people know.
Meryl Pearlstein, if anybody knows her name, it's because you probably read her articles in New York Magazine, in Global Traveler, in GQ. Are you taking notes, Elite?
I'm listening.
In Boston Herald, in Fortune Small Business Online, in North Shore Magazine,
That's
in City
crazy.
Guide.
Wow.
This is her. And she prides herself on being one of New York City's out there foodies. See, out there foodies, constantly, watch this, Elite, constantly chasing new trends, opening.
I want to know what a food trend
and
is.
And meeting new chefs throughout the world.
Okay.
That is the lovely Meryl Pearlstein. And she's going to be coming on with us. And let me tell you something. She has been, and I've known her for quite a few years. She really loves what she does, and she does it well, and she does it effortlessly.
Then it's not a job for her.
It's not a job. And you know what? And another thing I think I want to ask her, too,
is
how the landscape of what she does is different now because of all these bloggers coming on and all these, you know, they're nothing against, they have nothing
she
against.
She doesn't blog, I guess.
No, but I'm just talking about these 19-year-olds with their new blogs and new this, new that, and they're all, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, and I, you know, I love to see the younger generation involved in deep pursuits. But I wonder how that's changed the landscape of what she does and the industry in general. So
yeah, there's no other way until you bring her on.
You know, is she there? Then you just bring her on and welcome
her
to the show.
I
are
am
we
here.
How are you?
Hi, Laurie.
Meryl, how are you, darling?
I am great. How are you? I have a little bit of a cold, though, so my voice is a little bit husky today.
Wow. It's a little
put your cigarettes away.
A little bit like Warren's call.
It's from being out too late trying too many restaurants.
There you. You know what?
What a life.
You know what? Because Elite made. First of all, Elite, this is Meryl. Meryl, this is Elite.
Pleasure.
Hi, Elite.
Okay. Pleasure to hear you.
She, when we were talking before we went on the air, and I was saying, you know, there were food trends that we're going to be talking about. And, you know, her face, like,
explain
just,
to me what
just
a food
wrinkled
trend
up like a fist.
Shut up. What is a food trend?
What is a food trend?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting statement. A food trend, and we're in such a trend-obsessed city.
Yep.
A food trend is whatever is the desire of the moment. For example, I'll pick one that's just flying crazy here. It's poke. And it's not new. Poke is a Hawaiian dish. I probably tried it for the first time maybe 20 years ago.
Mm.
It's finally made its way across the U.S. into menus here. It is absolutely a healthy food. It's a natural offshoot of something like sashimi and sushi. Mm. But it's the Japanese version, the Hawaiian version, where it's a raw fish, but it's all tricked out with seaweed and garlic chips, edamame, sometimes pineapple, whatever, umami. And it's, you know, it's the newest bowl, if you will, which is a trend that's driving me mad. I'm so sick of bowls.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep, that's true.
Everybody has a bowl.
Everybody has a bowl. That'll be the next thing that disappears from the landscape. So right now, poke is huge, and it's what you were saying before, Laurie, about bloggers and Instagrammers and all that. They're big contributors to creating these trends.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's say, with a poke, for instance, you don't have a star chef behind that. You just have a type of food that's very popular,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the way that pizza used to be, or a type of pizza. So you have the bloggers, you have the millennials who are out and about every night. They have no room in their apartment to cook. So essentially,
the
really.
Closet.
That is
yeah,
true.
No, the going to a restaurant is their social life.
Mm-hmm.
And they pride themselves on, hey, I found this one first. Oh, look what's happening here. Let me get that picture on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And just to segue for a minute, to digress a little bit, it has changed my role a lot because news that I would have withheld, they're out there already.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's hard. The nice thing, though, is because of what I do, and one of the primary things that I do is a restaurant reviewer for Gaio, the Gomio Guide, which is similar to the Michelin Guide, but actually older than the Michelin Guide, and less known in the U.S., is I review restaurants anonymously.
Right.
So if you go on to Gaio, which is spelled GAYOT.com, and you look up a restaurant, you're not going to see my name anywhere. You'll see articles by me, but you won't see my name attached to a specific restaurant review.
Yeah.
However, if you go on my website, you'll see a select group of them. But the millennials and those who just say, hey, we have to know everything, are out there every night pounding the sidewalks and trying something new. And with more than 100 new restaurants every year in New York City, they can do that. They don't eat at home.
Yeah.
This is what they do.
That's true.
You know what's interesting? Because I mean, Meryl and I go back to where magazines were run, and the editors of magazines were well established. Not that I'm making any disparaging remarks about anything that's going on now, but the person that came in, the editor that you met that did a review or did an article on you was like well put together in her 60s, had done this for at least 35 years, can angle a story from any place in the room. And now, unfortunately, it's gotten to a point where you're just getting people just right out of school.
Millennials, like
yeah,
you said,
and,
those
and,
of them.
And you know, if you've ever, and I think Meryl, you've seen this movie, The Sweet Smell of Success.
Yeah.
You know, with
yes.
with so it's just amazing how the city was run by, you know, people who did reviews. I think that we probably know the same people, Meryl. There were people that I knew of that did restaurant reviews and could have shut it down the next day and sometimes did. You know, I'm not mentioning any names. But this is how much power there was in just maybe a select few people out there. And now it's just like you said, anybody could write a review.
Right.
You know, I want to say it's great that people are involved, but I think it's a little scary.
Well, I think the social media is a big thing. I mean, we didn't have social media 15 years ago,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So social media makes it so much faster to get out there to the public.
But
right.
See,
and I won't say that. I mean, I do have social media all the time. I'm on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Instagram. I occasionally go into Pinterest. Facebook I use a lot. But it's mainly to showcase a real story, you know, that I've done,
yeah,
rather than
yeah,
just
yeah.
a trend, you know, a possible trend.
Well,
whatever.
Before that, you had to write articles.
But see, this
correct?
Is
I still do, thank God.
Yeah, she
right.
still does, thank God.
Right, but I'm just saying that's all it was then.
But see, this is where I get to the point of, okay, anybody writing a review, okay, that's fine. But what makes you an authority? What makes you qualified? What makes you an expert? That's what I always have a problem with.
No, and I agree with that, and I have tremendous difficulty when I look at Yelp, for instance.
No, forget
yep.
it.
So I would always say, and the Yelpers out there, you know, will probably curse me out, but I would always say, just remember who's writing that. Is
yeah.
it somebody who's 20 years old? Is it somebody who's 60 years old? You don't know. You really don't know. You don't know what their budget is. You don't know if they have a gripe against the chef.
Yeah.
You don't know anything. There's no qualification there. So when you're looking for credibility, it's, again, GAIO, it's Michelin Guide, it's the New York Times, it's New York Magazine. It's
yes.
people with credibility who
yes.
have been doing this for a long time, who understand working with chefs, understand the difficulties, fact-check their work. That's
yes.
important. I mean, I write about restaurants also for a lot of the New York City publications that really pride themselves on their work in New York Magazine, Where New York Magazine.
Yeah.
And these are magazines that you see in pretty much every hotel in the city. The fact-checking and the photography behind those articles is amazing.
Yeah.
And when you see the photos that are on Instagram, yeah, they're okay. On some of the blogs, they're okay. Some people are better
yeah.
than others, but they really don't have the qualification behind
no,
them.
No, they don't have the professional photographer
no.
taking the pictures.
And, you know, not to say anything, that if the person could come to the table, you know, you could have somebody who's, like, in their early 20s, and they're exceptionally talented, and that's a wonderful thing. But there's something that goes along with life experience that you're not going to have with somebody that's doing the same thing you're doing that has done it for, like, 20 years.
No.
And I'm sorry.
No,
even
definitely
if
not.
That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Yep.
That is true.
My question is, and Elite made a face at this before, what establishes a trend in food? I mean, where does the genesis start? How does it happen? I mean, we know where fashion happens. We know what catapults a fitness trend. How does it happen in food? How does it happen in restaurants?
It's a very good question, you know, and I often wonder that because all of a sudden, as in fashion, you know, fashion, all of a sudden everybody's wearing a chunky heel
right.
this year.
Right.
How does that happen?
I don't
okay,
know.
In food, I think what happens, from what I can tell, is somebody hits on a very popular note, whether it's chicken, you know, the it's a health note.
Yeah.
So chicken is healthy. So then everybody takes off on chicken and riffs on chicken, and that becomes an instant trend. So right now in the city, we have a number of chicken-focused restaurants spanning the gamut from, you know, the cheap, cheap ones like Pio Pio or all the way up to Le Cocorico, Antoine Vesterman's Alsatian French bistro that he brought over from Paris that focuses on roasting birds and uses nothing but the best chickens that he can find from New York State. So you'll have a whole range, and it becomes a trend from high end to low end. So that's important. I think a lot of it ties into the news value, whether it's healthfulness or the economy.
Yeah,
it could be
yeah.
the economy, or somebody just wanting to get back to old time values.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, you know, this a spurn of deli kind of restaurants, like there's Harold's Meat and Three downtown on Canal Street.
Mm-hmm.
That is more like southern cooking. It's you pick your protein or your fish or your salad bar, and you pick three sides, and that's comfort food.
Yeah.
And I think nowadays with the political situation, people want comfort food too. So that
yeah.
is a trend. It's a responsive trend.
Well, I think you should have a lot of carbs if you're going to march. That's just what I'm saying. You know,
I would agree with that too.
It takes a lot of work. Protein and carbs for that.
Hmm.
You know, I was thinking, because I was like looking at different lists, and I was wondering if trends are culturally based. I mean, if one specific ethnic group will catapult, like maybe one year be more of an Asian influx. I guess that has to play into it too.
Sometimes. I mean, there are ones that are different ethnicities that stay popular no matter what. I think if you talk to somebody from the 80s, nobody knew what sushi was. You know, in the 80s, it wasn't a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And now Japanese has exploded.
Yeah.
And again, you have it from low end to high end. And there are two of the best in the city right now, and they're healthful, and they're super expensive, are Sushi Nakazawa in the Village, and Oh Yeah, which is in the 20s, which came from Boston, actually. They're both amazing restaurants. They're both omakase, which means the chef picks out the best of the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And those trendy omakase meals in very small settings have become very popular,
right.
as well as the cheaper ones. So Japanese is here forever. Asian, you know, we always have Chinese. Does it diffuse and become specialties? Yes, you might find Yunnan.
Yeah.
Taking
yeah,
over at one moment, or maybe it's Shanghainese.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, our most exotic was Sichuan.
Yeah.
And now look at what we have. All over the city, you can get as fine-tuned as you want. I think what happens, Laurie, is as our palates get more sophisticated, we look for the more unusual.
Yeah.
And the chefs are more willing to take a chance here and bring in Burmese cuisine or something like that, and it'll fly, and the trend set forth, and if it doesn't, oh well. But that's my take on how it happens. And the globalization, of course, people now go to Australia and they want to have what the type of coffee they had in Australia, flat white. So we have a plethora of little Australian coffee shops that have opened.
Is that
Little Collins right near your office, Laurie.
Really?
I don't know if you've ever been there. It's fantastic.
And what is this? Is this like is it a dark roast? I mean, what's?
I don't know if it's a dark roast. It's the way they prepare it and the way they infuse the milk into a flat white. They have different kinds.
I had no idea.
And of course, there's
really
ubiquitous avocado smash that has gone crazy here.
Hmm.
You know, and that came from Australia. Yeah. It's also healthful. It has chia usually. It has cumin sometimes. It's pretty much all over the place. Now you see it on the menu at Le Pain Quotidien as well.
Oh.
You know, so I think the globalization creates those trends as well. People know these.
And you know what's amazing, and I always say this, I never want to seem like a Manhattan snob, but there, if you can't find a place to eat there, you don't want to eat. And it's just amazing that everybody could manage to stay in business for a good amount of years with the real estate prices. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It is true. It is true. I think what's happening is some of the restaurants they're also moving into some of the less expensive areas. One example is up in the 80s on 86th Street, which was under the shadows of the 2nd Avenue subway construction for quite a while. There's a wonderful new bistro called Little Frog. And the people from there have come from major, major restaurants, you know, Minetta Tavern, Balthazar, et cetera. But the real estate prices on the Upper East Side now, depending where you are, have fallen. So you have this cute, absolutely adorably authentic French bistro in a little bit of a hidden location, not where you would expect to see it, on busy 86th Street.
Uh-huh.
But it does have the advantage of being near the subway stop now, which is good news.
Oh, now the Q train. There you go.
Yeah, the Q train stops right there. It's and the restaurant is just terrific.
Have you gone on it yet, Meryl?
I have a couple of times. In fact,
how is it? I
New Year's
yet.
Day, we made it our pilgrimage with everybody else. It's great.
That's
it's great. It's another alternative for zipping along the east side, and it goes straight to the west side.
Yeah.
So you can really get around a lot more quickly.
Yeah.
It's still the same train cars,
yeah.
but the stations are beautiful.
The stations,
the artwork is beautiful.
Yeah, my daughter lives on 100th, so she walks down to 96th Street, and the station was just beautiful. It lit
it's
up
beautiful.
Purple.
You know,
it's beautiful.
To anybody that's listening elsewhere in the world, they're probably saying, well, what's the big deal?
This is a big deal because there was no trains up there.
And you know what? It made such a difference to the businesses and the restaurants that are around there. But the funny thing is, I haven't seen a difference on the 6th train. The 6th train is where everybody...
They paralleled that?
Well, it was actually supposed to take some of the heavy weight and the crowding off the 6th train, and it really hasn't.
Hmm.
So I'm waiting for that to happen. Maybe it's going to be like a little bit of a delayed response. But, yeah, this was a big deal for us. Back to your train.
No, I know. It's great. You know, and if you go... Now you can get from the Upper East Side basically to Macy's.
That's right.
Without getting off the train, which is extraordinary.
I never put the end. Exactly. You certainly can.
And by the way, if you're going over to that part of the world, you've got to try this new restaurant that I have to mention this one because I went last night and it blew me away. It's been open since about December 20th. They opened right during Christmas. It's a little bit hidden at the moment under scaffolding, which is sad. So hopefully it'll emerge soon. It's called Coffee Mania.
Coffee.
And the name is really deceptive, and I had to ask about it. It's actually a part, it's the first U.S. outpost of a chain in Moscow, and it's not a coffee shop by any means. You know, the same way that coffee shop on Union Square is a Brazilian restaurant.
Wow.
Coffee Mania is more of a Euro-Russian-American hybrid with all kinds of amazing dishes, small dishes from hamachi to wagyu to bone marrow, not so healthy, but other borscht, Russian borscht, which I just adore, and a very carefully curated tea list, dessert list, wine list, unusual.
Wow.
The people there couldn't be nicer. They're trained so well, which is also really important in the city. And I don't know if the Yelpers and some of the bloggers get that. But the training that goes into making these restaurants successful is really important. And I always like to explore that. And I was super impressed by Coffee Mania last night. It was really terrific.
You know,
and it's right behind Bryant Park at 40th Street.
I was right around there the other day. It's funny.
Brand new.
You probably would have thought it was a coffee shop.
Probably. I would have gone in, though.
Yeah.
But you know what people don't realize is, you know, Meryl is a foodie. I'm not so much.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
to
what
me,
I'm saying. She would have thought it was a coffee
no,
shop.
No, to me, food is something that just gets me the energy to do what I need to do. I'm not that romantic about it. But what I do honor when I go to a restaurant, and Leet and I travel a lot, and we hit different restaurants along the right way, service really matters a lot to me.
A very big thing.
I could almost forgive something being undercooked or overcooked if the service is good.
Yep.
I agree. Okay, so I have to mention my favorite place for top service.
I want you and to mention all your favorite places.
It's a splurgy restaurant. It's not for the days you want to diet. It's for the days you want to treat yourself well. It's your Valentine's Day restaurant or your anniversary restaurant. And it's right near the library, also on the other side of Bryant Park. It's Gabriel Kreuther.
Okay.
And he's an Alsatian chef who had helmed the Modern at the Museum of Modern Art.
Mm.
Tremendous food, Alsatian food. Service, I haven't seen anything like that any place. From the meticulous presentation of the food, the explanation, the greetings, everything about it is five star. And for the days you don't want to do their prefix menu, they have a bar area with a separate menu. And you can have one of the glasses of wine, which is outstanding, Alsatian wines. And what the dish that put the chef on the map, which is his Alsatian tart flambé, it's like a pizza with a crispy flatbread base with smoked bacon, sweet onions, and fromage blanc. and it is to die for. I'm sorry, there are a lot of calories in it, though.
Okay, you know
but,
what? Okay.
But you may want to do that. You have your pre-bridal luncheon there.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And it's also great. And the service, again, so important and so well done.
Yeah.
You know what? When I think that most people, I mean, I don't go out to eat a lot, but when we do, you know, I'm not thinking about it's an experience. So you kind of, I don't expect the restaurant to give me everything that I would give myself at home, you know, clean calories. So you just go and enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
And I also like to have some privacy because I don't like the waiters and waitresses on
you
top of
space.
You constantly.
You want
right.
So give us some more of your healthy choices, or not healthy choices.
Okay, I'll give you a healthy choice that I love.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about vegetarian a little bit, but not really. Indian food, always great for vegetarian choices, as well as meat choices. And one of the best in the city, with great service, is Tulsi, which is Midtown. It's in the 40s. And the chef has a very non-Indian name, which always cracks me up, Eric McCarthy.
What?
But his name is Eric McCarthy. It's a family name in India. He's from Goa.
Oh.
And he presents a combination of food from Goa with street food, Indian street food, and it is delicious. It's not your pedestrian Indian restaurant that you see at all. This is high-end, Michelin-starred restaurant with fabulous desserts. Great service and privacy. They have little nooks that you can sit in, very private, and it's adorable.
I would just go in because his name is Eric McCarthy. I
mean, isn't that great?
From Belfast.
Literally, yeah. when I saw him, I said, "Are you really Eric McCarthy?"
Isn't that something? Well,
great.
No, hey.
Absolutely great. So that's one of my favorites too. Speaking about vegetarian too, there's another dish that I've become crazy over, and it's a carrot tartare. So for those of you who may be sick of tuna tartare or just don't eat beef tartare, carrot tartare is a wonderful take on it. It was originally developed at 11 Madison Park, which is about as high-end as you can get in the city.
Yeah.
Wonderful restaurant, but not affordable for everybody. But their sister restaurant, Nomad, has a bar in the back called Nomad Bar, and the chef, Daniel Hum, has taken the carrot tartare that he invented at 11 Madison Park over there, and it is sensational.
Mm-hmm.
It is sensational. Now, this is the kind of restaurant you can't go if you want a quiet place.
Okay.
This is a scene.
All right. That's fine,
it's very
too.
Buzzy. It's a great after-work place, and they have a menu full of comfort foods as well as the carrot tartare. You can indulge, too, in things like chicken pot pie, which has to be the best in the city. But it does have truffles, and it has foie gras in it.
Mm.
Pretty insane.
Okay.
All the expensive stuff.
Now, I want to hear unhealthy. By unhealthy, I don't mean that the Board of Health is going to close them down. I mean just something that...
Fattening.
Yeah.
Do you like fried chicken?
Well, I love it. Do I eat it much?
No.
But go ahead.
Oh, there's a really cute little place in the village called Root and Bone.
Root and Bone?
And it's tiny. This place is so tiny. They have a big takeout business. I forget whether it's Avenue A or B, but you can look it up, Root and Bone. But they have sensational, sensational soul food kinds of food, and their fried chicken will knock you out. So will everything else that will put the pounds on, the mashed potatoes with butter, you name it, and the great desserts.
You would know this. I mean, I've always meant to go to this restaurant, and I don't even know if it's still in existence. It was called Smack, and it was all macaroni and cheese. And I'm talking about...
Yes, S apostrophe M-A-C. I don't know if it still exists. I really don't.
Wow.
Macaroni
good.
And cheese is showing up in a lot of menus.
Is
it's actually pretty common to see lobster mac and cheese.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to... Oh, my God. I've just spaced out on the name of the food hall. It's right out. It's at 230 Park outside of the MetLife building. I think it might be called Urban Space. That's
okay.
It, Urban Space. Red Hook Lobster Pound has opened up a stand there, and they have the best lobster mac and cheese.
See, this place supposedly had, like, I think, something crazy, like 36 different types of macaroni and cheese.
36?
Yes. Yes, I'm not kidding. And it was only that. It was,
really?
Like, it was supposed to be this, like, little, I think it was, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Meryl, I think it was the East Village.
I haven't thought about it in a long time.
Oh.
I'm not positive.
I'd love to look it up, because that's just,
right.
You know what, it's just a fun place. You wouldn't
yeah.
go there, you know. That,
right.
And I was
right.
looking at the menu, it was just like every imaginable type of mixture of macaroni and cheese.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but you know what? It's fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, speaking about fattening and indulgent, let's talk
Go.
About dessert.
Go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah.
My favorite.
You can't, you know, Magnolia Bakery, Sex and the City, and all that started the cupcake trend.
Mm-hmm.
But there are
yeah.
there are other bakeries that really deserve more than Magnolia Bakery, please. One of my favorites is Two Little Hens. It's
Two
in Yorkville.
Yes.
It's on 85th Street and 2nd Avenue. It's been around for probably 20 years. Everything is baked on premise. And they have two of my favorite indulgences when calories are not on my mind at all. One is the Brooklyn Blackout Cake, which you can probably eat a little sliver before you say, oh, give me some milk, please.
Oh, really?
So good, so good, so good. And their Red Velvet Cake, which is also to die for. And if you happen to hit it in the right season, they have a pumpkin scone that just gives me the shivers thinking about it. It's so incredible. So the dessert aspect shouldn't be ignored at all.
Never.
That's a great way to put on
Never.
The pounds.
You remember, I'm sure you went to this place, Meryl. It was in, oh, my goodness, it was in Clinton, I think Clinton Hill in Brooklyn, the cake man.
I know.
He was the original one with the red velvet cake 12 years ago.
Wow.
That was the big thing, the cake man. And I
wow.
remember going there a couple of times with a friend of mine, and you literally had to park the car and because you couldn't double park it because you were going to be online, and the line was literally wrapped around the corner. And honestly, I'm not a huge, huge red velvet cake fan, but it was probably the best I've ever had. And the cake that is cocoa. It's cocoa in the cake. That's what
right.
the red velvet, that's what makes
it. I
the thought
difference. It was the cream cheese.
It's
yes.
Cocoa.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. So.
All right.
So
before
you leave us, because I know Meryl gave us a good amount of her time, and she's got plenty of other things to do than chat with us, this is a part of the program where we tell the guests to go plug themselves. So if there's anything we didn't hit on that you want to, and in fact, I want Meryl on at least maybe like once a month, Meryl's maps of restaurants and everything. What do you think? What do you think, Elite? Yes?
I love it.
If she,
yeah.
I think you'd come on
Definitely.
With restaurant reviews and so on and so forth. But if there's anything we didn't hit on, now's your time to shout it out.
Sure. Well, if you'd like to know more about my writing, I have a blog, of course, that will point you in the right direction to some of my writings. And it's called Travel and Food Notes. And it's about restaurants, not just in New York, but around the world as well, and other food trends and travel trends. And the website for that is www.travelandfoodnotes.com, www.travelandfoodnotes.com. Please remember to put the www before.
Yeah.
And that will also lead you, I write for the Daily Meal, so there a lot of my articles appear there as well. And then also on my website, you can find quite a good deal of my restaurant reviews for Gaio. So my website is mdppublicity.com. So that's mdppublicity.com, two P's. And if you pull down on the writing tabs, you'll see my food writing, lots of articles, all different kinds of places, things that you can't see on Gaio because I am anonymous. And that will give you some idea. And on the homepage of the website also, there's a link to my portfolio.
Perfect. And you'll also, you know, email me all the information because we're going to put it on our page tomorrow. So if anybody didn't catch it now, they'll definitely see it in front of them in print. And we thank you, Meryl.
Thank you
so much. And once a month, let's visit and let's talk about restaurants, good, bad, and indifferent. Doesn't matter. We want
to
know.
I would love to. That would be
thank
great.
Thank you, darling. Thank you for coming
okay,
on.
You're very welcome. Have a great
thank
afternoon,
you.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.
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 And she does a lot. Meryl
Streep.
Sure,
it sounds it, my God.
And you know what? That's why she's a foodie, because she does so much. A girl's got to eat. A girl's got to eat.
Yeah.
And she's quite slim. So if she's one of the few foodies that I know of that is actually svelte. But did you hear? A lot of good restaurants.
Yeah, we have to check it out. I'd like to.
You know, I'm always interested in checking out new places, you know. But like I said, it's funny because I'm easy to please. You know,
right. For you, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't, you know, it's...
Get you a salad and Burger King, you'll be happy.
No, but I'm more concerned. No, I'm more concerned with the service than anything else. You know, that's it. When you go into a restaurant, you want to sit down, you want to feel like, you know what...
We know. We've been through it, we know. There's a lot of restaurants out here.
Everybody knows your name. It's nice.
We don't go to Cheers, but okay.
No, but you know what I'm saying.
I think
that's the experience everybody wants.
I totally agree with you.
Everybody wants to walk in and feel like, you know, they're walking into a room full of friends. I think that's a beautiful thing. So, but we thank her. And what do you think? I think like a spot like...
Is she going back?
I don't know. Meryl, are you still there? No, she's not.
Wait. Let me see.
I'm listening.
Oh, he's still there.
Yeah, just for a couple of minutes.
Did you
a few
call
minutes.
Back?
I'm sorry?
Did you call back or you just...
No, I did. I did call back just for a couple of minutes. I only have a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. You can.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good.
Thank you.
We thought you forgot something because I saw you back on the screen.
But you know what? We're talking about... What do you think that I think maybe once a month having you come on and giving
giving
one month
a food little spot.
No, give 1 month. Well, depends. We'll make it thematic for Women's History Month. What do you think? I think maybe foods that are empowering, and I think that's what we could do. Restaurants
are,
like
are
that.
Are there foods that are empowering?
It could be.
There you go.
Okay.
Mm.
All right.
I'll have to think about that one.
That's what
anyway, now I really have to run. I was just
really
listening back afterwards.
Have
a wonderful afternoon again.
Thank you, darling.
Okay, take care.
Godspeed.
Bye.
There she goes. But that's, wasn't that sweet?
Yes.
She wanted to hear. She wanted to stay on a little
more.
That's nice. But I think that'll be a good.
Why not?
A good thing for the show.
Get a monthly different people up here.
Because you know what? People really want to know. And I know the funny thing is I have people, you know, that come in from all over. And they always ask hotels. That's how big it is, hotels and restaurants. They always want to know where
to
go.
It's the city. It's New York City. What do you want?
Well, you know something, because I remember sitting in, I think it was Lindy's. I think John and I were in Lindy's about 5 years ago. And anybody who's been there, I mean, it's a landmark. And it's just incredibly expensive, and people from out of town don't realize Leo Lindy's.
That's in Sheepshead Bay, no?
No. Leo Lindy's is like it's kind of like.
Isn't there one in Sheepshead Bay?
I don't know.
Lindy's.
You might be. I don't know if it's the same. It might be, but the flagship one is kind of like Carnegie Deli, of that echelon. And I remember, you know, looking at it. Again, you go there just because it's kind of cool.
The landmark,
okay. Right. And you look at the menu, and I remember that day I had, oh, my God, it probably was tuna salad or something.
Boring.
No. But the sandwich was $17.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Now, my point is, a family of around six sat down next to us, and they looked like typical tourists. They looked like they were like from Wisconsin or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at the menu, and I'm watching them. And they looked at the mother and father, like leaned over to each other, and they said something. And then within 5 minutes, they piled the menus at the end of the table
and left.
Because you know what?
They weren't expecting that.
Don't expect that. They probably thought, well, it's just sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's nothing elaborate.
It's in the city.
And, yeah, and the guy who's doing
They got to pay their rent.
He's doing the math in his head. And
It's not really fair.
Oh, it's horrible.
A lot of people that travel or visit. It's terrible because, the prices for rent, I totally get, is phenomenal.
That's the thing.
And you have to charge what you have to charge to get,
That's the thing.
To get the money back, but...
that.
It's just that, you know, when people visit and come out of, from out of town, they can't afford these sandwiches for $17.
It really is.
It's impossible.
You know,
especially
look,
feeding a family of five, six.
Right. I mean, for me, you go in, and we're New Yorkers. You go in, and you're just like, oh, okay. And you're like, what? You could imagine somebody who's used to walking in any restaurant from wherever they are,
right,
and they're paying $5 a sandwich.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's, but you
it's
want.
It's sad. It's very sad.
But see, you know, okay, you, we're part of the problem. Anybody who has a business in New York has to, you know, play by the rules of this, you know, elevated rents that constantly do that. And, you know, it's, you pass it along to the customer unless you're, you know, you're doing okay and you don't have to and you work by volume. But it's just, you know, years ago when they bought the buildings, and they lived upstairs, and they had the restaurants downstairs,
mm-hmm,
and it, you know.
Well, that's how it is still now.
Well, I mean, the thing is, but if a lot of buildings are being bought because they're not owned by the restaurants, so you know they.
I don't know. The city's a lot of work.
It
a
is
a lot of money. Sometimes to me, it's not worth it. It's really not worth
but
it.
You know something? It's
to go in there. It costs money. Gas, tolls.
Of course.
Parking through the roof. Okay, and then to eat or to see a show, it's at least $1,000. I'm going to give you an example.
That.
We bought three tickets to see this.
What did you
this
see?
Brand new show that
mm-hmm.
I am Evan
get?
Michaels. I have
oh,
no
okay.
idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, not great seats.
Okay, good.
200 pop.
Yeah.
Okay, not great seats.
Yeah.
Okay, they're
I
in
believe.
The mezzanine,
yeah.
you know, third
I
row, fourth
totally
row. But that's considered, you know, it's just $200. That's $600. That's even, we didn't even leave the house yet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Gas, tolls,
dinner. Sure.
It's at least $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
$1,000.
Oh, yeah.
That's a grand to leave the house to go enjoy a night for three.
See,
in the city.
That's what's sad.
That's so sad.
Because what happens is culture and the arts is supposed to be for every man. You don't want to just have a select few or a margin of people that are able to participate
mm-hmm.
in that. So how can we, and I know the house has to make money. I know that the actors have to be paid.
I
the
think it all has she has to be
have to.
Is all the same prices. I don't care if you're old, you're new,
well,
all the same prices.
You know what?
The same seat in every theater. It's uncomfortable. It's the same show. It's the band. It's whatever it is. Everybody gets paid the same. Come
well,
on.
I mean,
they just do it for what's more popular.
I think. Well, I mean, it's still
price
better than,
gouging.
It's still better than,
it's
than
price
Hamilton,
gouging,
which is $500.
$600, $800 on a Saturday night.
Me,
get
I
the
know.
Hell out
believe
for
me,
one
I
ticket.
Oh, I know. But I
and they're sold
look,
out. That's what kills me.
I don't
me.
Have a problem paying for a better seat, but it doesn't have to be that enormous. That's what
no.
I'm saying.
No.
Having better seats, paying maybe $10 for a better seat, that's fine. But it doesn't have to be as, you know, as eye-gouging
right.
as it is. But, you know, again, we have the privilege of art, and we make it just for the privileged. And that's not, I don't think that's a good thing. I think that
it's
we should
not
have.
It's for the privilege. It's for everybody.
But the whole thing is, it's
it can't be appreciated
that,
by anybody.
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't. Think about this. Think about the person that's making maybe just
look
collective
at the inner
income.
Set of kids.
That, well, that's
you know,
what I'm saying.
They need to experience this just to get a broader reach of life. It's not just sitting in the house
I
or going into the
totally
playground
think.
Or school.
And we're keeping them out of it.
But they
keeping,
can't afford it.
It's
not
that's,
fair.
And that's what I'm saying. It should be that everybody
not
could
fair.
Afford it. And it might not be something that everybody could afford more than twice a year, but at least
but that's what I'm saying,
it shouldn't
that
be
every
like,
price in the theater should be the same price.
Think about this.
You want a good seat? Okay. It's going to cost you this much. Not every place
no.
should be different prices.
But
it's impossible.
Think about this. When you went away on vacation with your family when you were young, it probably didn't cost more than
to go to see the show.
That's what I'm saying.
I can go on a cruise
that's
for that
saying.
Much money. You know that?
It's just
I can go on a cruise for $600, $1,000 spending money.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's going to cost
that's
me to go out for
saying.
One night.
And as
it's insane.
And as beautiful as it is, it's a nice experience and everything.
I'm boycotting
it's
New York City.
Well, I don't know about New York City, baby, because my little
it's
business
all in
is
New
there.
York City.
Well, my business
it's
is
all
business.
New York City.
But see, wait a second.
Everything in New York City.
But now, wait a second.
Everything.
No, wait a second.
Come on.
My business does not, I mean, my, you know, my prices aren't.
Do you, your prices aren't that bad, okay?
They're not bad at
but
all.
But they're not going to be the same prices on Staten Island.
No.
Brooklyn,
but
New York.
Gonna, but, oh, no, wait a second. In the New York Times, more people from Brooklyn are moving
mm-hmm.
back into Manhattan because Brooklyn has gotten to be less affordable.
Well,
yeah.
It depends on where in Brooklyn.
But I'm just saying, there's no place in Brooklyn now that is considered.
Well, Brooklyn's very
it's
broad.
Don't forget, it's very big.
It's very
Brooklyn,
broad. It's
Brooklyn
like Long
Heights,
Island.
You've got
right, exactly. So,
Bed-Stuy, Clinton Hill.
Right. It's
years ago,
very broad.
It's hot. It's
right.
hot. Red Hook.
Some areas, not all of them.
But you know something? Now, unfortunately,
some areas.
This is where I say, you know, you have an impoverished
still not
going to
pay
area.
All that money to get into the city.
But I'm just
in
saying.
Brooklyn.
But I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I'm boycotting New York City.
Okay, you could boycott. Can I boycott Staten Island?
For what? For
a
overcharging
lot
what?
Not well, I'm not going to go into it on the air. But
are overcharging?
No, not overcharging.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm not overcharging.
They're overcharging because it's New York City. It's a
and
tourist
I don't think,
trap.
And I don't think it's fair.
No, it's not.
But
it's
there
a
are
tourist trap.
Things, there are beautiful things in New York.
I'm not saying it's not beautiful.
They're beautiful.
I'm not saying.
And
every
you know
time I drive into it, it's beautiful.
But you know what's beautiful and free?
What?
Central Park.
Yeah.
Central Park is beautiful.
Still
and
costs
free.
Money to get to Central Park.
Oh, you could take a train.
Still costs money.
Okay.
Still costs money. I still got to drive to the ferry or drive to a bus stop. It's costing me money to leave my house. It's always going to cost
but
me money to get into
what?
The city. And what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the city and not eat?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going
to have a pretzel on the stand.
But like the lovely Meryl Pearlstein said, there are nice places to eat in the city that are fairly affordable.
Yeah. Fairly.
Yeah. There are a couple places that we ate that weren't bad.
No.
I can't remember them offhand, but there were a couple of places.
I don't remember
ate.
Any of them. So.
No, that we ate that wasn't
I don't know.
All that pricey?
I don't know. It's just very pricey for no reason.
But, you know, it's not pricey.
What's not pricey?
Sponsorship with us.
Oh, that's right.
Now, you hear the good times we have on this show and how we love our sponsors and our sponsors love them. And let me tell you, people.
And you get a lot for your money.
You get a lot for your money. And if you think that you don't want to fork down $1,200 for a fourth of an ad in print media, which is, and I know the insides and outside of that, that's what it's running you. You advertise with us. We have a broad reach. We have more and more sponsors turning
it's
to radio.
It's more just the sponsorship. It's social media.
And you know what else it is?
It's being on our social
what
media.
What else do we do for our sponsors? Our sponsors, if you dedicate yourself to a year contract with us, you come on the air with us.
Ooh,
six times.
Wow.
And you could be part of all this. All
look
this,
at all this fun you're
the
missing.
The fun you're missing out on. And
yeah.
We have a very broad reach. We
we
have
do.
People that listen to us in Ireland. We have people that listen to us in L.A. We are all over the place. And if print media is to die down, radio is still, I personally think, it's always the strongest of all the mediums. Reach us at thebridalbodyshop@AOL.com. And we'll talk about the different packages we have for advertising with us. And that being said, who do we love, Elite?
Oh, you know what I love. I love Topperson.
Topperson. They love us. We love them.
Bruises love them more.
www.topperson.com. You have the Topperson Junior. You have the foot formula. You have the regular. You have the fibro cream. You have the My Pain Away sports cream. Everything is on that website. You take your little basket. You take your little swollen foot and aching back, and you just check out what you want. And if you mention us, I think you still get a little bit of a discount.
Ooh.
The wonderful Lou Paradise will probably be on. He's the formulator of Topperson. He will be on with us in probably a month or so for our monthly Topperson talk. Yeah, the ladies love that. And we will be talking to him about whatever is specific. I think we have him on for Women's History Month, and I know he'll probably have something.
Because he's a big woman.
He's a nice man. He's got a very well-developed female side, the wonderful Lou Paradise, and we love him. And www.topperson.com. And if you want to get a little bit more edgy, if you want to get a little bit more gritty,
yeah,
it's the Boys Who Make Noise at Motorsport Magazine. And they have their own TV show, and they have their own radio show. And you could listen to them live. Go to their page, Muscle Sport Mag, and go to their website. $32 a year gets you a subscription to their publication. $32 a year is nothing, and free delivery. www.musclesportmag.com. And I don't know if they give a little discount because of us, but it would be nice if they do. But if not, you're getting a steal anyway.
Definitely.
And we love it because it's all meat, no filler. You just get what you want. You get the exercises. You don't get all the pictures that you don't need, the vitamins you don't need. The last three pages of the magazine, everything else is content, and that's what you like. Muscle Sport Mag, and we support each other, and that's what it's about. That's really what it's about. Whether you're in radio, mag, it's all about supporting each other. If you're in the New York area, if you're in the L.A. area, if you're in Chicago, wherever you are, the Wedding Salon has a location or an event going on that you could be part of, and nobody does. Oh, dear. Nobody does weddings better than they do. And Tatiana Byron was Martha Stewart's, I think, little protege. And they did stuff together. And Martha Stewart got into her weddings. You hear Martha Stewart weddings anymore. But she got into that for a big part of her career. And Tatiana Byron took it and ran. And she has events all over the place. And we are partners with them. Go to our page to find out more information. But TheWeddingSalon.com. Find out where they're going to be in your area, be it Chicago, be it London. They're really all over the place. They are really, they've been involved in probably some of the most famous weddings you can hear of, The Wedding Salon. And go to their page, go to their website, Google them for crying out loud. If you can't remember anything, Google is a wonderful thing. Google it, you will find it. And I think that's our show, unless you wanted anything else to add.
No.
You have nothing else to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Until next week, we thank you for the hour, and we thank Meryl Pearlstein for joining us, and hopefully she joins us again. Thanks again to her. And with all this information, we hope you use it well. We hope you go out there, do something productive, be good to each other and yourself. And we hope that you see fit to make exercise a part of your life. Thank you, my lovely co-host.
Thank you.
Please take us home.
You got it.